Welcome to Freedom to Choose with Rich and Susan Collenberg. Freedom to Choose is brought to you by Just As I Am Ministries, a nonprofit that gives hope and help to those lost in addiction. Rich and Susan are a husband and wife team who found grace and freedom from 20 years of addiction to drugs and alcohol. They broke free from their bondage 15 years ago and are here to share their experience of God's power in recovery. God can change lives. Now, here's Rich and Susan with Freedom to Choose.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Freedom to Choose. My name is Rich Collenberg.
And my name is Susan Collenberg.
Susan, what are we going to talk about today?
Today, we're going to talk about temptation.
Temptation, and what is it?
And what it is, and how to avoid it.
And how we're tempted and all that kind of stuff?
Yes.
Now, typically, I start the program out with a story, but my wife has informed me that we have a lot of material to cover today. So what we're going to do is we're going to get right to the material. But before we do that, Susan, would you please pray for us?
Loving Father in heaven, thank you so much for the ability to recognize and to understand what temptation is, and above all, to use your power to overcome it. We just pray that you'll be with us and be with all the people that are hearing. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Now, Dr. Nora Volko, she's the director of the National Institute on Drug Abuse. And she has she's been doing some pretty interesting work. And we got a little bit excited about it. So we thought we'd share some of this research with you today.
Dr. Volko's work has been instrumental in demonstrating that drug addiction is a disease of the human brain. As a research psychiatrist and scientist, Dr. Volko pioneered the use of brain imaging to investigate the toxic effects of drugs and their addictive properties.
Now, her efforts are twofold: to understand the neuroscience and source of addiction, and to educate the public on addiction.
Her studies have documented changes in the dopamine system affecting the actions of the frontal brain regions involved with motivation, drive, and pleasure, and the decline of brain dopamine function with age.
Now, let me stop you right there, Susan, because motivation, drive, and pleasure. Is life worth living without motivation, without drive, and without pleasure?
No, those are the things that actually help life to
make life worth living.
Exactly.
So she's studying the system in regards to addiction, because that's the part of the brain that gets attacked by many, many drugs. And so that's why she's studying this. And so it's interesting to note that the drugs, especially I know with me, with the methamphetamine, when I came down off of methamphetamine, I had no drive. I had no motivation. I had no pleasure in my life, because that drug had attacked that part of my brain that made life worth living.
And not only that, but many times when people use an illegal substance, when they quit, quote unquote, they switch to another possibly legal substance, mm-hmm. say alcohol, thinking that they've actually changed, but because their brains are so addictive, they're just into a different addiction.
A different addiction,
right.
Yeah.
And so she also made important contributions to the neurobiology of obesity, HDHD, ADHD, and behavioral changes that occur with aging.
Now, contrary to previous theories of addiction, she found that the sensitivity of the reward centers, which is what I was just talking about, in the brains of addicts is significantly decreased. In other words, these reward centers, the sensitivity goes down and there is less pleasure, there is less drive, there is less motivation. Much of her research and advocacy is focused upon shattering current myths surrounding drug addiction, such as marijuana is not addictive.
Right.
Prescription medications are always safe. And I think later, maybe in a later segment, we'll devote an entire program to prescription medication. I think that would be a good thing to do, don't you?
Yeah, it's a difficult thing these days.
What about this myth? You can control your addiction.
Mm-hmm.
What we're going to talk about today, that's what defines an addiction. It's a habit that controls you. You don't control it.
Correct.
So right out of the gate, by definition, that is a myth. This cluster of myths can be investigated by focusing on how the brain creates and responds to dopamine, and that's the neurotransmitter we're going to talk about today. Dopamine is a key factor in the addiction process. The way we produce dopamine, the triggers, and the conditioned responses affect our behaviors and addictions. Not only does dopamine relay the sensation of pleasure, now get this, but it also motivates our behavior via expectations. Now, this is what we want to talk about today. Let me translate that. In other words, something you enjoy doing, when you think about doing that, you get excited about that because dopamine is what is getting you excited about it. See, so that's what triggers you to go do it. You think about it, you get excited about it, you go do it, then the event happens and the pleasure is realized. But there's pleasure in excitement about it.
Right, because what about when you're getting ready to go on a trip?
Sure. I mean, it's almost better than the trip itself.
Exactly.
Right?
Right.
Because the dopamine's flowing.
Right.
You can't wait to go. You know, you're packing everything up and you're all excited. You get there, you go, I don't know why I was so excited. But no, that's what makes life worth living. Right. Because if it wasn't for this motivation thing, if it wasn't for that dopamine going to get you excited about, so there would be no drive.
No point in it. Right.
No point in it. No pleasure. Not long ago now, Susan and I watched her speak to Morley Safer on 60 Minutes. What we saw was incredible. She used the brain scans of addicts to show how difficult it is just to say no, and other addictive behaviors, including eating, because to say no to drugs, to say food, alcohol, tobacco, and she uses brain scans, and she did some very interesting comparisons.
She also says that scans of addicts' brains help to explain the chemistry of drug addiction, which is a disease that changes the brain. We know that drug addiction is a chronic disease. Drugs change the brain physically. They physically change it, she says. And the changes last long after the addict stops taking the drug.
Now, among her key findings is that the levels of dopamine, the chemical that regulates the pleasure centers of the brain, rise if the addict should even see a photo of the substance they abuse. Now, if you were to take an addict right now and you put him in front of a video or right out in nature, brook going by, birds singing, the breeze blowing the trees, that addict's dopamine is not going to be flowing or not going to be as released. But if you stuck a picture of the drug that he abuses in front of him, that will set the dopamine off.
Right.
You see, and that's at the core of temptation. Right there. And that's what we're talking about. What is temptation? It's when someone indulges in sin and then gets excited about it when they think about it.
Well, what does the Bible say? That when you're tempted, you're drawn away by your own lusts
and enticed.
Exactly.
Because you've committed the act and you tend to entertain the thought. You get excited about the thought, then you perform the act.
Exactly.
Now, she demonstrates that the same is true if a hungry person sees food. It's the exact same thing. She showed Morley Safer a brain scan of a hungry person being shown a picture of a hamburger. The scan reveals a dopamine rush. It just basically stimulates the release of dopamine, and the more they release, the more they want the food. Voco tells 60 Minutes that we always say, why do we have a problem with obesity in our society? And I said, well, we're surrounded with stimuli with which we are conditioned. If you like hamburgers, you might see that McDonald's yellow arches, and then your dopamine goes inside your brain, and you want a hamburger. And you don't know why you want it, but the more you look at the golden arches, the more you want the hamburger, the more you want the hamburger, the more you drive toward the golden arches.
And see, this may explain why there are so many obese people who can't say no to food. If it were easy to just say no, then I think that we would have no problem with obesity. We would have no problems with drugs. That's what Volkol stated. And you and I were watching a football game last night, and they have now they have the fantasy football, and it's all intertwined with beer, and all those stimuli are coming everywhere.
From every angle.
That's right.
You just get it from all angles.
Right, and she points to her own difficulties in resisting things that she likes, such as chocolate and coffee, that she sometimes can't resist. She says, I'm a very wired person, so I shouldn't drink more coffee, but sometimes I just can't resist it. So saying to someone, just say no, is magical thinking. But I do want to say, there are times when people are able to, especially with the power of God, to be healed from addictions. We have, accounts in the Bible where that happens.
That is the component that was lacking in her discussion with Safer.
Exactly.
And so we just wanted to add that component to it. See, and let's review now, because we've gone through many programs on addiction. And for those of you that have not caught our program before, we want to review. And the reason
and those of you that haven't caught our program before, you can go to our website. It's www.justasiamministries.com, and you can review the archives there. You can go to and listen to the program.
Yeah, you can listen to the program there. So let's review. What you're thinking right now can actually change the chemical composition of your brain cells and the rest of your central nervous system. So that being said, habits and addictions are chemical reactions that go on in your brain. These habits are actually the chemical reactions, and they actually change the structure of the brain. When the reactions go on long enough, it will create a pathway. Now, every springtime or summertime, my friends and I, we go to Nevada.
Not with me, though. It's a man thing.
It's a man yeah. thing. Man things are okay. We go for
3 days.
So anyway, when it rains every winter, we call them gully washers. Anyway, the water takes the path of least resistance, and it makes these gullies, and sometimes they're about 8 feet wide, and the sides are straight up and down because it just washes, it creates a washout, and the sides are straight up and down, and sometimes they'll be 3 feet tall, the sides, 5 feet or whatever. And so that is basically produced from the rain taking the path of least resistance. We like to take our four-wheelers down into those gullies, mm-hmm. and then we follow the gully. Mm-hmm. Well, once you get in, unless you find a way out, the only way to drive is to follow the gully. And that's kind of how our brains work. You see, once you get in, you know, being in a rut, once you get into that gully, into that rut, that's the path of least resistance, and that's where your brain will go. So let's define, once again, for review, what is an addiction?
An addiction is a habit that controls you. You don't control it. We don't control our addictions.
That's right. And so now addictions are divided into two classes. What are they?
Substance and behavioral.
Substance and behavioral. So what are some addictive substances? It's fairly easy.
Alcohol, tobacco, sugar, drugs, coffee, soda.
Those types of things.
Yes.
They're all. So you're telling me soda's addictive?
Can be, yeah.
Can be.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, this is kind of fun, though. Let's talk about behavioral addictions, because there are actually... Now, remember, all substance addictions are behavioral addictions, but behavioral addictions are not substance addictions.
Right.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So what are some behavioral addictions?
People-pleasing.
People-pleasing. Yeah, that's a good one.
Number one for me.
Number one for Susan. Okay.
There's gambling.
Gambling.
Sexual addictions.
Okay.
Gossiping.
Okay.
Television.
Okay.
Over-exercising.
Right.
Overeating. Anger. Jealousy.
Wow.
There's a lot. Yeah.
It's almost like there's more than substances.
Yeah.
Huh. So these behaviors can control you. You don't control them. Mm-hmm. So in other words, a situation can tell you whether to get angry or not.
Correct.
Or a situation can make you jealous because of the ruts in your brain.
Correct. It's the choices that you've made
in the past that causes you to get into that
right.
rut. Okay. So who does make the choice?
When you're addicted to something, the choices you're making are not your choices, but choices your habit is making
That's
for
right.
you.
And that is addiction, because it's the choices now that the ruts in your brain are making
right.
for
so
you.
Right. So like those goalies, you've reinforced over and over a pattern of action.
Right.
And then that's your path of action.
That's your path of action.
Right.
When this happens, you do this.
Right.
When that happens, you do this. When this happens, you react that way. Or when this something else happens, you may go get some drugs.
So your brain goes to the path of least resistance.
Because that's
that
natural, see?
Right.
I mean, it's that old saying, what do you got to do to grow weeds? Right. Nothing.
So, or the saying, so I feel like I'm in a rut.
You feel like I'm in a rut, yeah.
You're literally in a rut because you're doing the same thing over and over again.
That's right. That's exactly right. Now, between our ears, there's a constant battle going on, isn't there? Now, this is where the rubber kind of meets the road. The executive functions of the frontal lobes involve the ability to recognize future consequences resulting from current actions. This battle is constantly going on in your head. If I say this, what will happen? If I eat this, what will happen? If I do this drug, what will happen? And you're constantly using logic and reason versus what you want to do right now. I want what I want, and I want it now. And so we're always making these choices, okay? Now, let's remember now what Dr. Vogel says. Not only does dopamine relay the sensation of pleasure, but it motivates our behaviors via expectations. So, what excites you? If we are engaging in bad behavior because that is what excites us, and we dwell and think about that bad behavior, or the situation arises, or we're around the wrong people,
That's temptation. Right.
Because dopamine is going to start flowing because you like the bad behavior, you want to do it, and now there's the little shot in the arm telling you, go ahead,
right,
do it, because you're excited about it. You see? That's what temptation is. Now there's the battle between the ears saying, yeah, I know I want what I want it now, but the consequences of this might be very detrimental, so I have to use reason
to override.
But I don't have the power to do that because I'm in the rut. So what? We have to call on God for the power.
Right.
That's the only way to get out of that rut. That's the only way. Because you're in that rut. It's natural for you. You like it. You want it. And the only way to use for reason to override is to call on God for that power. That's the only way.
So kind of like when Paul said, who's going to deliver me from this body?
Yeah, who can...
I do the things that I don't want to do,
yeah,
the things that I don't want to do, I do. It's
yes,
just like this battle.
Precisely. It's this terrible battle going on, and that's why we draw on the power. And God says he will help.
Right.
He says he will do that
right
for us. We educate our minds, don't we?
Yes, we do. We start liking the brain stimulation of the pleasure so much that we choose it more and more until one makes a conscious decision to accept the pleasure over right and wrong.
Okay, now you're hooked. When
yep,
you make that conscious decision to accept the pleasure over right and wrong. Not that there's anything wrong with pleasure. We're talking about sinful pleasure.
Right, because I remember, you know, when I was a practicing addict, I don't even know that I had executive functions, you know? It was like I went, there were no executive functions.
Uh-huh.
And so
somebody had to come in and clean your house out for you.
And
it wasn't you.
It wasn't me. It was the cops. The police came and said, you know, you're incapable
of making choices.
So we're going to make them for you.
Uh-huh.
Right?
And so that must have came from the Lord.
Absolutely.
The best thing that happened to you was getting locked up.
People call and they say, oh, my son or my daughter's in jail. And I always say it's the best thing that could have ever happened to them. At least they're in a place, hopefully, where they're safe. But no, I had given my power of choice over.
Right.
So somebody had to help me.
You were running on the ruts.
Exactly. And time after time after time, finally, I was able to make a decision to say, I need to make new choices.
That's right. Because there is only one way out of that gully, isn't there?
That's right. And the one way is to get excited about something or someone new.
Something or someone new.
Yes. Philippians 2:5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new.
Now remember, among Dr. Vogel's key findings is that the levels of dopamine, the chemical that regulates the pleasure centers of the brain, rise if an addict should even see a photo of the substance they abused. Now, that's a key statement. And when she made that statement, something clicked in my mind, because the Bible says something that says, let's change that photo.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Right.
Let's change that photo and make new ruts.
Right.
What does the Bible say?
In Philippians 4:8, it says, fill your minds with those things that are good and that deserve praise, things that are true, noble, right, pure, lovely, and honorable. Put into practice what you learned and received from me, both from my words and from my actions, and the God who gives us peace will be with you.
If we don't put biblical principles into practice, can we become spiritually dehydrated?
Yes.
Yes, we can. Now, what exactly does being spiritually dehydrated mean? Dr. Paul Kramer puts it this way. How do you know if you're dehydrated? If you drink less than 64 ounces, 2 liters of water a day, you are dehydrated.
Wow, that's a lot.
That's a lot of water. 64 ounces of water is 1/2 gallon. That's water, not juice, not soda, not coffee, milk, beer, tea, soup. It's water. If you don't drink enough water, your body can extract water from these drinks, but in the long run, you'll never get enough water to get you out of a dehydrated state. Many people say to me, well, I don't feel thirsty. How can I be dehydrated? And it can be kind of confusing. See, and here's the key. When you've been dehydrated for a long time, your thirst mechanism shuts down. Did you know that? You don't feel thirsty until your mouth is actually dry, but it's a strange phenomenon. If you start drinking water regularly, your thirst mechanism comes back. Now, that's the point. The point is in the Bible, in Philippians 4:9, which you're about ready to read again, is that if we don't put into practice spiritual things, we will lose our thirst, right, or for a better word, our appetite for spiritual things, and we will slide back into those ruts, right, back into those gullies, because now we begin to excite. What do you got to do to grow weeds?
Nothing.
Nothing. Right. So if we do nothing spiritually, we slide back into old behavior.
Right. So Philippians 4:9 says put into practice, and the reason why it says put into practice is because you need to create new ruts.
Exactly.
Healthy ruts.
Healthy ruts. We have to have healthy ruts. The Holy Spirit speaks through the Word of God. So in conclusion, my friends, Paul says, fill your minds with those things that are good, that deserve praise, things that are true, noble, right, pure, lovely, and honorable. Now, this is great advice, but was this a piece of cake for you and me?
No, it was really hard.
It was really hard, because when you love darkness and when you love sinful stuff, the light is awfully bright to come to. And to put it bluntly, to some addicts and to me, I mean, I wanted to do good. I wanted to be right with God. But the problem was some of it was repulsive to me.
Right.
Some of this goody stuff was very, very hard to do. But I had to keep praying, Lord, you've got to give me the strength to do this. And I was doing the right thing because it was the right thing to do, but it was very, very difficult.
Right.
Simple? Yeah. Paul says it right there. Fill your minds with those things that are good, that deserve praise, that are true, noble, right, pure, lovely, honorable. Sounds really good, doesn't it?
Yes.
But it is simple, but it's not easy. So people, if you are praying for someone that is in addictive behavior, if you're praying for someone who's getting their dopamine triggers from bad behavior, keep praying for them. And if they're struggling,
And point them to Jesus, because he is the solution.
He's the solution.
That's
he's got
right.
the power to get the brain
That's
out
right.
of the ruts.
Yeah, the Word testifies of him and who he is.
Right. Remember the text that says, you know, you search the Scriptures because in them you think you have eternal life. They are they which testify of me.
Right.
See, it testifies.
The
Bible testifies of the one who has the power. He's a human being. He came here to help us deal with our problems, because he knows about the ruts.
Right.
He knows about the temptations. He knows about the struggles.
Right.
And he came. And I think that's why those that really struggled, that knew they needed help, he was able to help. But if we don't know we need help,
we don't know we need a physician. We don't know we're sick, right?
You have to go to the. Sometimes you have to go to the doctor to find out how sick you are.
That's right.
It may just be a little itch here or there. But we are all sick, aren't we? We're all
yes.
damaged good.
We're all in need of that great physician.
Yeah. And I think that the more that we keep that in the forefront of our minds, that we're all damaged goods. I mean, that will help us to understand that the drug addict on the street and some of us that are going to church now, we all have the same issues, the same struggles.
That's
and
right.
That's those ruts in the brains. That's those temptations. Some of them may seem small, and some of them may seem enormous.
So, the question is, where are we getting our dopamine?
Where are we getting our triggers?
Right.
Are you getting your triggers from the right
source?
Pure, noble, healthy.
Dwell
are
on
you
those
excited about
dwell
God?
On those things, and we will have peace.
That's right. And remember, friends, there's only two ways to live your life. One is like nothing is a miracle, and the other is like everything is a miracle. And you have the freedom to choose.
you for listening to Freedom to Choose. There truly is hope for anyone whose life is in captivity and being overrun with the devastation of addiction. Rich and Susan are living testimonials and have created a 7-step biblically based handbook and a recovery workbook to move those you love toward freedom. If you'd like to order the Addiction Recovery Workbook for someone you know, or if you're a member of a church and you'd like to create a ministry in the area of addiction, Rich and Susan can help you get started. Please call Rich and Susan at 916-645-1297 or go to www.justasiamministries.com. As a nonprofit, they are blessed by people like you. 916-645-1297 or www.justasiamministries.com. Thank you for listening, and remember, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you.